Hare Krishna. As they passed the shuffleboard courts and the old men playing checkers, Prabhupada stopped and turned to the boys. "Just see," he said, "old people in this country do not know what to do, so they play like children, wasting their last days, which should be meant for developing Krishna consciousness. Their children are grown and gone away, so this is a natural time for spiritual cultivation. But no, they get some cat or dog, and instead of serving God, they serve dog. It is most unfortunate, but they will not listen. Their ways are set. Therefore, we are speaking to the youth who are searching." Like you have, you understand, shuffleboard? No, it's like when you get bored, then you shuffle. Like these guys are old and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's some kind of, I don't know how long it is, but some kind of board. You know that you have these, you've seen here, you know, in India, you have all those, what do they call them? Karam, karum. You know, there's little boards like this, and there's wood, and then they flick with their fingers. Huh? Tabalo. Okay. And what did you call it?
Karam.
And what did you call it? You don't know.
No, call it carom.
Huh? You also call it carom. Anyone else have a name for it? Okay, so basically it's like that, but it's really big. So those little shuffle things are too small, too big to hit with your fingers, so they have this kind of like a, you know, a wooden board with a long stick on it. Hmm? And then you get there like that and then push it. And so the board is, I'm not sure how long is it, how many feet?
3 meters.
3 meters, that's all? No, not pool. Pools are generally, you have Olympic size, you know, they're, you know, 100 feet and stuff like that. They're bigger than 10 meters. Pool, you mean like the flowers on the trees there, pool? Like those. Those aren't 10. The trees may be 10 meters, but the flowers are not 10 meters. You've seen a 10 meter flower? Only in April they grow that big, right? Okay, so then these old guys, they sit around and push these these shuffleboard things, or they play checkers, you know, because chess takes a little too much brain, you know, stuff like that. So Prabhupada's point is now they're old, the children are grown up in that, now they have free time. So then the idea, oh, then you just sit back and relax and enjoy, but actually this is the time for spiritual development. Right? So that's the difficulty. Yes? No? Yeah? Okay. Right. So that means it's actually difficult to play. No. He says yes. If you're old, it's difficult to play. I see. Takes too much brain. So that means you young guys, you really have good brains because you play all day. So that's the symptom of brain, is that you play. I see. Someone else had an idea. What was it? Who was it? Oh, yeah, Chandra was that. He had brain because he was thinking like that. So you're saying it's actually the symptom of brain is that you're playing. Yeah? Because it takes brains to play. I see. So, in other words, so it's something unknown to many people is how much intelligence you're generating and cultivating by playing all day. Yeah? Someone else can enlighten us on this new theory. Yes? No? When Prabhupada and the boys passed the sloping green lawn just off Kesar Drive, the boys pointed out that this was the famous Hippie Hill. In the early morning, the gentle sloping hill and the big quiet meadow surrounded by eucalyptus and oaks were silent and still. But in a few hours, hundreds of hippies would gather there to lounge on the grass, meet friends, and get high. Prabhupada advised the boys to come here and hold kirtan. I think that's the picture. Oh, no, that's on the other one. Where he sees pictures of Prabhupada, they're sitting on, it's like, there's a big slope, huge thing, and there's all kinds of devotees around. I think at one point somebody brought Jagannath, you know, no clothes, anything, and there was a tree stump there, and he just stuck them on the tree stump. So Jagannath is there, and then they're doing kirtan, and everybody's going around. Okay? So now, end of life one is supposed to use for Krishna consciousness, okay? But now, if you've had a whole life of materialism, will you be able to do that? Yes? You're not sure. This is a trick question. Hmm? Yeah? Come on, use that brain that you said you had. Yes? Okay, so that means if you, let's say, spend your whole life not doing any cooking, and then suddenly when you get old, then you can just cook perfectly, right? No. So in the same way as how you'll be so Krishna conscious if you haven't practiced. It means you can do it, of course, because it's the nature of the soul, but it'll be difficult, no? Yeah? So that's why you practice now. Because whatever you do now, it's easy. Then later, then you can practice that, right? You practice now, makes it easy when you're older. You don't practice now. It means if you practice playing all day, then when you get older, you'll be very expert at playing like that. I'm not sure if you can make a profession out of it. You know, you come in with your resume and, you know, professional punch guti, you know. Oh, what has he done? Yes, you know, 10 years of panchkuti and, you know, how you say, 12 years of chasing each other around the garden like that. How you say, 6 years of falling asleep in class like that, 15 years of pinching and poking during class. And the guy looked, very impressive. Yes, like that. Chapter 2, The Price Affair. Swamiji's disciples in New York were surprised to find that they could still carry on in his absence. At first, rising early, going to the storefront, and holding the morning kirtan in class had been difficult. Without Swamiji, everything had seemed empty. But he had taught them what to do, and gradually they realized that they should simply follow what he had shown them, or even imitate as a child imitates his parents. And it worked. At first, they had been too shy to speak or lead the kirtan, so they had played tapes of Swamiji's kirtans in classes. But when the evenings came and guests attended the temple, the devotees felt compelled to give live classes. Rai Rama, Brahmananda, Satsarup, and Rupanuga took turns giving brief talks and even answering challenging questions from the same Lower East Side audiences that Srila Prabhupada had lion-tamed for 6 months. What is lion-tamed? Yeah, that means in London, that river runs, the Thames. So if you take a lion and you throw it into the Thames, and you've tamed the lion, right? Just like here, if you do it, you Gunga the lion. So there they tame the lion, right? Yes?
Like taming an elephant.
Like taming an elephant. That's harder. They're really hard to pick up and throw into the water. But they do like water. So maybe it'd be a different process. They would actually go into the water happily because they like water, while, you know, lions don't really like water, so it might be harder to get them to go into the water. Though I've heard in one of the countries down there, I'm not sure which it is, one of the African countries, that there's one group of lions that actually like to swim. But other than them, so those ones would be easy to tame. Yeah? So it means if you take this wild lion, chuck him into the Thames, then he'll become peaceful and domesticated. That will, peaceful I can understand because he's soaking wet. But domesticated, why would he want to hang around with you if you just tossed him into the Thames?
Well, I honestly don't think the two words have anything to do with each other, tame and tame.
You're saying there's no connection between taming a lion and the river Thames. So you're saying that throwing the lion into the river Thames would tames the lion, not tame. So you're saying it would be plural instead of singular. But wouldn't it, plural generally means there's a multiplicity, so that wouldn't that be quicker to use a multiple, you know, many. Many, many tame is tames. Or, there is the point, it could mean that they belong to tame. So tames actually some person or some, you know, conscious being. You know, just like you say, it belongs to somebody, so it's tames, it's, you know, it's like, that makes sense. You know, you have the person, Adi, but then it belongs to him, so Adis. Or that could mean many Adis. But then if you had many Adis, then the problem is then how would that be all the origin? You'd have to have one origin, then you have the Adi. Then, of course, you have, you know, how you say, you know, the letters R-D, like that. You could also, so it's R-D's. No? You sure? Somebody seems to call you that quite regularly. Huh? Yeah. I'm not even sure that person didn't kind of like arrange the name. Huh? Okay. So, therefore, the Thames, it could be they belong to the Thames, because once you throw them into the Thames, then they're in the Thames, so they belong to the Thames. So that could basically mean that they've been domesticated and that now they'll be in part of the Thames.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it means.
Okay, so now we've solved that. Now we can move on, right? So, okay. Okay. So things were shaky and lacking without him, and yet, in a sense, he was still present. And the devotees found that everything, the chanting, the cooking, the taking of prasadam, the preaching could still go on. Because, right? In other words, you follow the instructions, then the person is there. Right? Another aspect of, see, it's like one symptom of having a brain is thinking, right? Another aspect of having a symptom of having a brain is paying attention. Now, if you need to get some paying attention, you go, Madhava figured out where he's got a supply. So how much you need, you can go to him. He can arrange for you. I don't know if he won't. He might take a cut, you know, like that. Like that. So. Yeah. That's also a symptom of brain. So they're just following. Prabhupada made a program, you follow it, and then it works. So that's the thing. Before they thought only Prabhupada could do it, but no, anybody can do it. It's just Prabhupada, his position, he can do it so much greater and so much deeper. You know, that's because, but every living entity can do these things. But they just have to follow in the parampara, and it works. Yes? On January 19th, just 3 days after his arrival in San Francisco, Prabhupada had written back to his New York disciples. They were his spiritual children and were very dear to him. Although far from his homeland, India, he hadn't thought first of writing to anyone there. Since he was a sannyasi, he had no interest in writing to any family members or relatives. And as for writing to his godbrothers, there was not much importance in that, since they had repeatedly shown their reluctance to help. But being in a new city among new faces, and having met with an initial fanfare of success, Prabhupada had wanted to share the news with those most eager to hear from him. He had also wanted to reassure his disciples whom, after only a few months of training, he was expecting to conduct the Krishna consciousness movement in New York. Right? So here's the thing, they've gotten training for 6 months, and now they run the temple, give the classes, do the kirtans, and everything like that. Right? Does that make sense? So just imagine, that's 6 months, just imagine 10 years of playing Satguti, what you'll be able to do, right? You know, like that. That'll be pretty good, you know, all that running around and not paying attention in class and harassing and pinching and poking. You'll be able to really do something serious, no? Because it is only 6 months, right? But you'll have been doing this for so long, right? No? Then how are you going to become good at it? You only become good at it if you practice.
I practice.
You won't practice playing during class. Okay, but when it's not class and it's playtime, then you can play. Yeah, okay. So that means you're using that power, that brain, for the power of discrimination, telling the difference between class, the difference between free time, right? So when it's free, then you play, right? And when it's class time, then you don't play, right? Because then playing is very expensive at that time. See, at the other time, it's free, so it's cheap, right? So you always have to balance that, yeah? Right? Understands English. Cool. Okay, so the letter. My dear Brahmananda, Hayagriva, Kirtananda, Satsarup, Gargamuni, Achutananda, Jadurani, please accept my greetings and blessings of Guru Gauranga Giridhari Gandharvika. You have already got the news of our safe arrival and good reception by the devotees here. Girdhari Hari Gandharvika, that's the deities at the Chaitanya Math, because that was like the main Math, the headquarters. So that's the deities there. Mr. Allen Ginsberg and about 50 or 60 others received us on the airport. When I arrived in my apartment, there were some press reporters also who took note of my mission. 2-3 papers like the Examiner and the Chronicles, etc., have already published the report. One of the reports is sent herewith, please find. I wish that 1,000 copies of this report may be offset printed at once, and 100 copies of the same may be sent here as soon as possible. I understand that you are feeling my absence. Krishna will give you strength. Physical presence is immaterial. Presence of the transcendental sound received from the spiritual master should be the guidance of life. That will make our spiritual life successful. If you feel very strongly about my absence, you may place my pictures on my sitting places, and this will be source of inspiration for you. Right? So he's already starting. Means they just had the seat, and that's the way it is. But now he's pointed out you can put the picture there. Because he was always there, so then there's no need. But then he's not there, then they put the picture. So there on the Vyasa Sun, then there's always the picture. I am very much anxious to hear about the final decision of the house. I wish to open the house by the 1st of March, 1967. An arrangement may be done dexterously in this connection. I have not as yet received the tapes for dictaphone, and I have sent you tapes yesterday. Please offer my blessings to Sriman Neil. Sriman Rai Rama is cooking well and distributing prasadam to the devotees, numbering sometimes 70. It is very encouraging. I think this center will be a very nice branch without delay. Everything is prospective. Hope you are well and waiting your eager early reply. The letter had helped, especially the second paragraph. Brahmananda had posted it in the storefront. Now Swamiji had clearly enunciated that they were still with him, and he was still in New York with them. It was something special, service to the spiritual master in separation. And even the devotees in San Francisco, who were with Swamiji every day, could not yet know its special taste. While the devotees in New York performed their daily duties, they often quoted from the letter and thought about it. Krishna will give you strength. Physical presence is immaterial. Presence of the transcendental sound received from the spiritual master should be the guidance of life. That will make our spiritual life successful. Although Prabhupada had written that they should place his photograph on his seat, no one had a photograph. They had to ask the devotees in San Francisco for one. A boy took some poor color snapshots and sent them to New York, and the devotees placed one at Prabhupada's sitting place in his apartment. It helped. For Prabhupada also, the letter to his disciples in New York marked a milestone. This was the basis on which he hoped to conduct a world movement. He could travel from place to place and yet be simultaneously present in many places by his instructions. Brahmananda, as president of the New York Temple, frequently phoned San Francisco. Quote, the chanting is the focal point, he told Hayagriva. We can always sit and chant. We're beginning to understand what Swamiji meant when he said that worship and separation is more relishable. And Srila Prabhupada wrote to his New York disciples regularly, at least once a week. Brahmananda got most of the business instructions. Arrange to purchase a new building in New York, see Mr. Kalman, and get copies of the Kirtan record. Get a copy of the movie a filmmaker had made of the devotees. Investigate the possibility of publishing Bhagavad Gita. Quote, if I am assisted by one expert typewriter, Prabhupada wrote Brahmananda, we can publish every 3 months a book. And the more we have books, the more we become respectable. There was a, I don't know, it's in the original Hare Krishna, I don't know if it's Hare Krishna Today, Hare Krishna World, or whatever it is. It was the original devotee film, like that. And there they have a picture when they were doing the BBT. There's a section on the BBT. And there they had one Mataji. She would listen to the tapes. And most people listen and then stop and then type and then listen and stop and type. She could hear and type at the same time. Like that. I think she could do like 200 words a minute. Like that. Exceptionally fast typist. So in that time, then they were able, they published the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, which at the time I think was, now it's 11 volumes, but I think at the time it was much more like 18 volumes, the first printing like that. But they did it in, I forget what it was, some very, very, extremely short time. It was just like months like that, because they were working like Prabhupada had mentioned. Satsrup got a letter from Prabhupada asking him to type the dictated tapes of the new book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Although Prabhupada's typist, Neil, had gone to San Francisco, after a day he had disappeared. I think you have 5 tapes with you because I have got only 3 with me, Prabhupada wrote. See that the tapes do not miss. Satsrup had written inquiring how he would be able to understand transcendental knowledge. Quote, you are a sincere devotee of the Lord, Prabhupada replied, and certainly he will bless you with the auspicious advancement in the matter of spiritual understanding. Rai Rama got a letter encouraging him to continue publishing the magazine. Quote, back to Godhead will always remain the backbone of the society. Your ambition should always be how to improve the quality. Achyutananda, one of the youngest devotees, only 18, was now working alone in the kitchen. In a letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote to 5 devotees, signing his name 5 times. He told Achyutananda, since Kirtananda is absent, certainly you are feeling some strain, but the more you serve Krishna, the more you become stronger. I hope you are being properly assisted by your other godbrothers. Prabhupada advised Gargamuni, also 18, to cooperate with his older godbrothers. Asking whether Gargamuni had gone to see his mother, Prabhupada said he hoped she was all right. Since Gargamuni was the temple treasurer, Srila Prabhupada advised him, checks should be drawn with full deliberation. In other words, think about it first, only then take the money. Prabhupada wrote Jadarani, I always remember you as the nicest girl because you are so devotedly engaged in the service of Krishna. She had informed him that she had been cheated by a boyfriend, and Srila Prabhupada replied, better you accept Krishna as your husband, and he will never be unfaithful. Devote yourself, therefore, 24 hours in the service of Krishna, and see how you will feel happy in all respects. Rupanuga had written Prabhupada that the temperature in New York had dropped below 0, and that there had been a 2-day blizzard, Srila Prabhupada wrote. Yeah, so here it was like, in other words, if things are nice, the arrangements are nice and proper, then it would be always arranged that the girls would get married. But if there was no proper arrangement or that, then Prabhupada's point is that, so then you connect yourself with Krishna. Krishna's not going to go away. He's not going to, you know, cheat you or anything like that. So that was, because Rukmini, that was her point. It's like, you know, why would anyone want to marry, you know, someone else if Krishna's there? You know, that's her point. So Prabhupada's just saying that. You know, so if there's some nice arrangement, yes, good. But if there's no nice arrangement, then don't bother. Yeah, Krishna's there. Prabhupada wrote, certainly this situation would have been a little troublesome for me because I am an old man. I think Krishna wanted to protect me by shifting me here to San Francisco. Here the climate is certainly like India, and I am feeling comfortable, but uncomfortable also because at New York I feel at home. on account of so many beloved students like you. As you are feeling my absence, so I am feeling for you. But we are all happy on account of Krishna consciousness, either here or there. May Krishna join us always in this transcendental service. So, in other words, the feelings are there. It's not that, oh, we're transcendental, we don't have these feelings, there's no emotions. No, it's there. But everybody is engaged in their service, so life goes on. And by Krishna's grace, then, you know, everybody will be connected to service. Right? Yes? No? Or should we be praying, connect us through juggling? May we always be able to juggle together, and in this way our lives will... No? No, not juggling. Panchkuti? Satkuti? Some kind of guti. No. Okay. The neophyte disciples in New York felt assurance from their spiritual master's words and by their own experience. Service and separation was a transcendental fact. They were improving and chanting on their beads, and the New York Center was going on. So long our kirtan is all right, Prabhupada wrote, there is no difficulty at all. Because right? Prabhupada said, kirtan's the safest place to be. Because in kirtan, then you're with Krishna in the form of the holy name. So nothing can bother you like that. So one should always be in a state of always hearing and chanting about Krishna like that. It means chanting your japa, doing kirtan, discussing Krishna consciousness like that. Right? Anything else? Yelling, screaming, running around. No? Not safe? No? Why? What happens if that happens?
You might get in trouble.
You might get in trouble. Oh, okay. But that's not safe? No. Any other options? No. Okay. But there was one difficulty. Attempts to purchase a new building, which had gone on smoothly while Prabhupada had been present, had become a great problem as soon as he had left. Shortly after Srila Prabhupada's departure for San Francisco, Brahmananda had given Mr. Price $1,000, and Mr. Price had promised to help the devotees get their building. When Prabhupada heard this, he became perturbed. From the letter, in the opinion of the devotees and trustees here, $1,000 has been risked without any understanding. I know that you are doing your best, but still there has been an error of judgment. I am not at all displeased with you, but they say that Mr. Price will never be able to secure financial help from any other source. In other words, he's making the point that he knows, recognizes that they're working hard and trying their best. They don't know so much, but it's still an error of judgment. Right, so he's, you know, both of these aspects are there. When you, how do you say? When you scratch one eye, close the other. You never look with one eye, because then it can create a, how do you say, a fight. Right. So when you if you want to do one, then just close both the eyes. Don't leave one open. Yeah, it's just a tradition. You know, certain things. You do can create dropping salt, right? Spilling salt, that can create that kind of an environment. You never hand people, you know, directly a chili into their hand. You know, chilies because they're hot. You don't hand a knife directly to someone's hand. You always put it down. If they want the knife, you take it and put it down. Then they pick it up. You know, like this. So like this, there's many considerations to avoid. Fights. Like that. I'm not sure exactly what these guys are doing to avoid all their fights, you know, because they behave so nice, do everything so nice, never fight at all, you know, and everything. So I'm not sure if they're strictly following all these things. So. What do you think?
Strictly following.
So that's why they never fight and everything like that. Okay. Therefore, you should not pay even a farthing more than you have paid. If he wants any more money, you should flatly refuse. Srila Prabhupada remembered Mr. Price at their first meeting, at which the blonde-haired, elegantly dressed businessman, his face tanned even in winter, had addressed him as Your Excellency. That address alone had made Prabhupada distrust him. There was a Bengali saying, "Too much devotion denotes a thief." Prabhupada knew that businessmen were prone to cheat, and that an American businessman would be particularly difficult to deal with. Prabhupada's American disciples were innocent children in worldly affairs. He was ready to instruct them step by step, but now, without consulting him, they had become involved in an unbusinesslike transaction, risking $1,000 of the society's money without any written agreement. Srila Prabhupada had visited the building on Stuyvesant Street, and he wanted it. It was a historical, well-kept, aristocratic building, suitable for his New York headquarters. It was worth the $1,000 price, if they could afford it. But it was difficult for Prabhupada to know from San Francisco what was going on between Brahmananda and the businessmen. And the difficulty increased as letters and phone calls from Brahmananda introduced other persons involved. Aside from Mr. Price, there was Mr. Tyler, the owner, and Mr. Tyler's lawyer, who seemed independent of Mr. Tyler. And finally, there was ISKCON's lawyer, who also had a mind of his own. Although Srila Prabhupada's disciples usually surrendered to his direction, they seemed bent on listening to the businessmen's promises, even though their spiritual master had cautioned them not to. They didn't quite understand, because they just knew Prabhupada as, you know, a sadhu, as their spiritual teacher. They didn't really understand how, you know, he was done business in India, and how if you can deal in India, then it's, you know, quite easy to deal in the rest of the world, right? So, you know, they didn't really understand how he knew how to deal with it. Prabhupada became disturbed. His preaching in San Francisco was being threatened by fears that the businessman would cheat a society of what he had begun in New York. With no responsible advisors to turn to, Srila Prabhupada sometimes discussed the problem with Mukunda and other devotees in his room. They all agreed that the transaction seemed highly irregular. Brahmananda was probably being led on by false promises. Brahmananda, however, saw Mr. Price as a rare person, a successful man who wanted to help the devotees, although no other respectable businessman had ever shown interest. Mr. Price listened and sympathized, and he would greet the devotees with Hare Krishna. Brahmananda was well aware of the humble economic and social position of the devotees. They were almost all ex-hippies, and they were poor. But here was Mr. Price, a wealthy man with diamond cufflinks, who was always glad to see him, shake his hand, pat his back, and speak appreciatively of the religion of India and the moral behavior of the small band of devotees. Mr. Price had received a group of devotees as guests in his apartment and said nice things about each one of them. He had said that Hayagriva was an excellent writer, and that Bhakti Godhead was the best magazine on the market, and that its mimeographed appearance made it look even better than the Slicks. He said he would give the devotees a movie projector, and he came close to saying that if he could liquidate some of his money, he would give them the building. Brahmananda, who saw Mr. Price a few times a week, would come away intoxicated with high hopes. The Krishna consciousness movement could rise to success through this wealthy man's patronage. After leaving Mr. Price's office, Brahmananda would rejoin the devotees in the evening and tell them all that had happened. On nights when there were no public kirtans, the devotees would hold meetings. Swamiji had named them Ishtagoshtis to discuss the instructions of the spiritual master, and the Ishtagoshtis became dominated by talks of Mr. Price and the building. One night, Brahmananda explained why he had given Mr. Price $1,000. Mr. Price had asked for, quote, "something to work with," end quote. It was like earnest money, and it was also for a trip for a trip Mr. Price had to make to Pittsburgh to see whether he could release some of his wealth to use in Krishna's service. One of the boys asked whether there would be any receipt or written agreement. Swamiji had taught them to use receipts, at least amongst themselves. Gargamuni and Satsarup, as treasurer and secretary, signed each voucher, and Gargamuni kept the vouchers on file. These included requests for items like 50 cents for a hat, end quote, $3 for sneakers, end quote. Brahmananda said he had mentioned a written statement to Mr. Price, but hadn't pressed the matter. Anyway, it wasn't necessary or even desirable, since they were not simply conducting business with Mr. Price, but cultivating a relationship. Mr. Price was a well-wisher, a friend, who was helping them as charity. He was going to do big things and use his influence to get the building. This $1,000 was just a gesture to show their interest and to show Mr. Price's friends the devotees weren't joking, they had some money. In fact, the devotees had $10,000, $5,000 in small donations, and a $5,000 donation from a wealthy hippie. In addition to donations, the temple had a regular monthly income of $800. Brahmananda's $400 paycheck from his job as a substitute teacher for the New York City public school system, and the $400 paycheck Satsarup earned as a caseworker for the welfare department. But the devotees were in no position to buy any building, and they knew it. All the more reason, Brahmananda explained at Ishtagosti, why they had to depend on Mr. Price. After all, he reasoned, Swamiji himself had inspired them to look for a $100,000 building. Swamiji knew they couldn't pay for such a building, except in some extraordinary way. And Mr. Price, Brahmananda figured, must be the way. Swamiji wanted the building. No sooner had he reached San Francisco than he had written back, I am very, very anxious to hear about the financial decision of the house. I wish to open the house by the 1st of March, 1967. An arrangement may be done dexterously in this connection. The assembled devotees listened to Brahmananda's explanations, sympathized, and added their own understanding of how Krishna and Swamiji were working. There were a few contrary remarks and opinions, but basically everyone agreed. Brahmananda's dealings with Mr. Price were all right. When Kirtanananda and Rai Rama returned to New York from San Francisco, they consulted with Brahmananda. Then Brahmananda went to Mr. Price, who promised that if somehow they couldn't get the building, he would return at least $750. The balance of the money representing travel in the devotees' interests. But they would get the building, Mr. Price assured them. Then Mr. Price told Brahmananda the latest. He had found a wealthy financier, Mr. Hall, who had almost agreed to pay the full $100,000 for the building. Mr. Price was working on Mr. Hall, who happened to be his close friend. Prospects seemed good, but the devotees would also have to do their part, Mr. Price explained, by putting up $5,000. Mr. Price would then arrange everything else. Mr. Price set up a meeting with an architect on Park Avenue, and soon Brahmananda and Satsarup were sitting with Mr. Price and his architect friend, reviewing sketches. To give the building that authentic Indian temple look, the architect proposed a faque with arches and, if they liked, domes. It was wonderful. Of course, they didn't dare ask him how much it would cost, but Mr. Price even hinted that the work might be done free. After Mr. Price served himself and his architect friend some liquor and offered some to the boys, although he knew they wouldn't accept it, the two men held up tinkling glasses, smiled, and politely toasted themselves, and the boys sang Hare Krishna. While going down on the elevator, Mr. Price spoke eloquently of the devotee's faith in God. He said that others might argue about the existence of God, but the most convincing thing was the devotee's personal experience. Your personal testimony, Mr. Price assured them, is the best argument. It is a very powerful thing. The boys nodded. Later amongst themselves, they laughed about the liquor, but still they figured these men wanted to help. When Srila Prabhupada heard about the latest developments, he did not share his disciples' optimism. On February 30, wrote Gargamuni, I had a talk with your brother, Brahmananda, yesterday, on the dial. He's on the phone, because he had the round, he used to dial it. I am glad that Mr. Price has promised to return the amount of $750 in case no sale contract is made. But in any case, you should not pay any farthing more than what you have already paid, either to the lawyer or to Mr. Price, unless there is an actual sale contract made. It appears to me very gloomy about the transaction because there was no basic understanding before the payment of $1,000 either to the lawyer or to the real estate. This is not businesslike. Unless there's a basic understanding where is the way of transaction? If there was no basic understanding, why so much waste of time and energy? I cannot understand. And if there was basic understanding, why is it changed so quickly? I am therefore perturbed in the mind. When there was no basic understanding, what was the need for appointing lawyer? Anyway, it is my advice that you should consult me before issuing any further money. But I hope you will make the transaction successful without further delay. Srila Prabhupada also instructed Gargamuni to protect the $10,000 in the bank and never withdraw any sum that would leave a balance of less than $6,000. Prabhupada had left one account for which the devotees were the signers, but he also had an account for which he controlled the funds. He now asked the devotees to put $6,000 from their account into his. He wrote Brahmananda, this $6,000 will be transferred forthwith by me as soon as there is a sale contract for purchase of the house. In other words, he's worried that they're going to do something stupid, so he's put it into another account that they can't take the money out, so that way they can't do anything foolish. And he said, then once you make the arrangement, then we'll take it from there. On February 10th, Prabhupada wrote to Kirtan Ananda, regarding the house, I was correct in my remarks that there was no definite understanding. In such negotiations, everything is done in black and white. Nothing is being done in black and white, but everything is being done with faith on Mr. Price. Let this understanding be completed within the 1st of March, 1967, and close the chapter. I think this is my last word in this connection. You are all grown-up boys, and you use your discretion, and you can now complete the transaction without prolonging it indefinitely. If, however, we are not able to purchase a house, it does not mean closing our activity at 26 Second Avenue. So there is no question of packing up and coming to San Francisco. So he's saying here, they have no experience, they have no background in these areas. They're new in Krishna consciousness, they're still quite young. But for Prabhupada, but that's not a problem. It's just you learn, you do like that. Like you're saying here, they're 18 years old, right? The treasurer for the society, and these others, they're all young, 18, 19, 20, 21, like that. And so they're running the whole society. So it's just a matter of just doing it. Make sense? Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki.